G'day, Cassie McCullough with you on RN this morning. And now to a program called Boys from the Bush, which offers young men from Aboriginal communities a stable living situation. Anton McMillan is a role model for younger residents in this uniquely structured style of household. And during this project, Boys from the Bush, he's worked his way up through the ranks at a meat processing factory in Junee, New South Wales. But his success has come at a cost for himself and his family back in Alice Springs. In the latest installment of The Real Thing podcast, we hear Anton's story.
4:30 in the morning on a Monday, and as you can hear, the smoke alarm's going off.
Welcome to Junee. The man responsible for the breakfast smoke alarm is Sammy.
Talk about Monday-itis.
A Fijian in his late 40s. He's a solid church family man and the supervisor of the house.
To pull their socks up for it to be a good job in the workplace.
Slowly climbing out of bed, Raiden and Jack, 16 and 17.
Friendly.
Some good fellas, you know.
Yeah.
They're from Aurukun, Cape York. Yeah, good fellas. You won't hear much out of them, not big talkers.
Jack, good morning. How are you, man?
But let me introduce you to the man boiling the kettle, the beating heart of the household, Anton. Anton's an Aranda man, he's 23, and his story, what he's been through and where he's headed, is big.
What's going on? Big cup of tea to start the day, right?
Yeah, wake me up a little bit.
Boys from the Bush brings young men down from their communities in the north into a solid living situation with a stable job in the southeast. The dynamic inside the house is no accident. The unique mix of housemates gives a spread of age and maturity. Each person is there to be a positive example to those younger. Milton James runs Boys from the Bush, and he and Anton go way back.
I met his mum first.
This was in 2009.
She said, "My son has finished his schooling. I want him to go to work. There's no work here. Is this something that you could help with?" And I said, "Yes, I can. You know, I can give him a job."
Inside the house, there's a movie on in the lounge room, and there's hip-hop pumping out of a phone somewhere. Anton's already prepping another cup of tea. We pull up a seat in the kitchen.
Some of them drink tea, like that much tea.
Really?
Yeah, even
giant Milo tin. That's what we're talking, right?
Yeah, we use them to boil up the water too. Something about us, we just like drinking a lot of tea.
Despite all the calming Northern Territory tea, in his early teens, Anton was restless. He told his mum he had a growing hunger to get out there, into the world by himself.
I don't know, I got bored of staying in the same town. Just wanted to explore.
You caught a little travel bug maybe, huh?
Yeah, you can say that probably, yeah.
Why did you trust Milton?
I really probably didn't, actually. He had a talk with my mum. So if it was good with her, it was good for me.
So Anton's big adventure begins. He and his family sign on to Milton's program. It would take him away from his immediate surroundings and people for a while, but hopefully to greener pastures.
Green.
But do they have to be this bloody green?
Too much green that I want to go back to the desert. That's how it felt. I first felt when I came down here.
What did your mum say to you before you went?
I love you. Look after yourself. Listen to the old man and... make me proud.
Yeah.
Yep.
In Boys from the Bush, the job is working in an abattoir.
The fellas, in a very noisy environment, hard at work here at Junee Lamb. Anton is in the boning room, sharpening his knife as I speak.
Milton recalls Anton's first full year in the program in 2010.
He was pretty nervous about this whole thing. He just had no idea of what was about to happen. And I think he probably wanted to chuck it in because it just seemed to be all so overwhelming. But my guess is that he probably spoke to his mum about it, but his mum says, "No, you stay there. You stick it out."
They're all working bloody hard, I can tell you that much. A lot harder than my job.
When he got right into the groove of this sort of
work and life, and he was right in it. What was it doing for him? I mean, were you just seeing changes happening right before your eyes?
With the support of his family, like, he really flourished.
Just kind of sinked into that life. When I went back home, you know, they looked at me a bit different. I nearly forgot out of speak my own language, I guess. It was just all English.
How long had it been?
Been over a year.
Really? Away from home, 15 to 16 years old, and you hadn't been home in a year?
Yeah, it was looking outside the airplane window, seeing the country going from green to orange. That itself just got me really excited and nervous at the same time. The difference is when I went back home, you know, that's when I saw how I was living before, you know, and I was like, now I know how I used to live before. I like the way I'm living now.
As you can hear, Anton's pretty positive about this whole thing, and to be honest, it makes a fair bit of sense to me. But it's tricky territory. Aboriginal people have deep connections to country and can feel pressure to lose their values and culture to make the cut in towns and big cities. Back at home, there can be few job prospects and exposure to alcohol and drugs. It's complex.
Like Anton, you can't remove the Aboriginality in him. He's Aboriginal wherever he goes. He'll remember his language to the day he dies.
This is a very dangerous assignment. He's a cop, not a guinea pig.
I get the sense that these guys are probably pretty popular at JB Hi-Fi in Wagga. Here in the living room at the bookshelf, it's filled with DVDs. Now, they're pretty much bad action films. A bit of martial arts as well. Jackie Chan shows up quite a bit.
Into his second year, 2011, Anton continued solid, but tides were moving back home.
You know, they'd call from time to time if they needed some help. So, you know, at that moment I knew, you know, I could help them, especially my mum, because she was living back home with my younger sister just by themselves at home.
Anton, he progressed really well in every way. With his work, he was very successful. He became a qualified boner. His income rose, and he was sending much of that money home. He loved his mum. His mum loved him. And he used to show his love by sending money home to her, you know, to look after her.
Yeah, because now that we were all older, my younger sister was getting older. Everything just kind of changed. My mum started drinking, so she wasn't, like when we was all young going to school, she wasn't that kind of person. You know, everybody just kind of started moving out of home there. I guess the drinking kind of got worse over time, I guess. And
his mum,
yeah,
started to drink more and more. And
you were seeing this firsthand yourself, because you were visiting on subsequent recruitment drives.
I'd go home. So I'd visit Anton's mum and the family.
Didn't really know what was going on. She'd call, talk about family and all this, but she wouldn't really talk about how she was going. So I didn't really know anything about it. So one of the things when you drink a lot and, you know, there can be some accidents when you don't know what you're doing. Like when you go over the limit, you know, it's just a blackout. When you're at that point, anything can happen. Yeah.
Your mum died in a tragic way, and it was driven by alcohol, very sadly.
Yeah. No, I was there when she passed.
Right.
Yeah. I was 18 at that point, yeah.
you feel like that there is some link between this success in Anton's life and some tragic circumstances in his family life.
But see, this is the point of the whole scheme. It opens doors. And when young fellas walk through those doors, where are that door going to take them? Well, we don't know.
After the death of Anton's mum in 2012, he didn't return to Boys from the Bush.
That year, I didn't go back to work. I had a really hard time trying to get a hold on life at that point. That year's probably the lowest I've ever been in my life. I started drinking and smoking and just went spiraling down. So I tried to block out reality as much as I could. If I had an argument with any of my cousins, I'd be that angry. Like, I really want to hurt them, but I end up doing it to myself.
Through this dark time, Milton stayed in touch with Anton's family and eventually put forward the idea of him coming back down south.
I spoke to his auntie again, and she said that, yes, that would be good for him. He's ready for you to come and get him now. So I went back and said, Anton, I need you.
Yeah. I was surprised to see him, you know. After over a year and a half, you know, he still remembered me. Yes. Started talking. Everything that I had done in the last couple of years kind of came back to me.
Whether Anton realised it or not, he and Milton were linked, a sense of mutual obligation. As he got himself back on track, back to work, he would be a role model for new young guys. And that's what's going on in the house here in Junee.
Now that I'm more older, I'm in a position where I'm old enough to guide these young boys, you know, show them the way to do this at work, teach them how to treat other people, but in a way that they can understand.
Anton did well once more and spent the next few years going back and forth between the programs and home. But Milton had begun to notice a pattern for guys like him. As much as the switch would flick on when deep in working life, it would switch off again when they went home.
The fact that I could reach out to Anton 5 years later and say, we've got a new project, I helped you in the past, now I want you to come help me. And they answered the call. But see, they shouldn't have answered the call. If they flew away, so to speak, moved on, you know, they would have had
a busy
job. They got a job.
Nice to hear from you, mate.
Yeah.
But
yeah, thank you very much for all the help you gave me. But, you know, I've moved on now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like a time warp. They just were frozen in time.
Milton pondered this problem for years and eventually came to a conclusion.
They're great guys. They're skilled. They're qualified. Good workers. It can only be psychological.
So a new idea and plan is now brewing with Anton to try to move beyond the two lives in two worlds problem, beyond just black and white Australia. What is it?
Milton was talking about sending me over to China. I got pretty shocked leaving my own home country to go overseas. The idea was pretty crazy.
As luck has it, Milton's daughter lives in China, and of course, he visits.
China's got a big meat processing industry. It's massive. Our guys are skilled. What if we take these guys to them, to their industry?
So what they're getting from working in these abattoirs is really positive, but you need to make a bigger statement to have an impact back at home. That's what you're thinking.
With Anton, I said, I want to broaden your horizons, mate, to see that you control, you have the capabilities of taking on the world.
Reckon I'm ready to take on the world, I reckon.
And if you succeed.
Once in a lifetime opportunity.
Imagine what that must do for his self-esteem and his perception of himself.
Can't let it slip. Probably be the first and only time I'll ever be overseas.
You're excited, aren't you? I can tell. It's a mixture.
Yeah, excited and nervous. Pretty much how I first felt when I got out of home. that you're leaving your home country. Yeah, it is crazy, but it was exciting at the same time.
My experience of with the Chinese is that they've never heard of Aboriginals. They didn't know that they existed in this country.
Yeah, some of the boys had said that when they've met Chinese people at the abattoirs where they're working, they don't know where they're from. They think that maybe they're Africans. They're not sure. They ask them.
He's got that opportunity. He can tell the Chinese how they are to make sense of him and his people.
And what's Anton think of this?
I think it's time to let the world know we're here. Learn from them. Learn from me. Be awesome.
But no matter the distance Anton lives from home, he can always slurp one of those big Northern Territory cups of tea.
Yeah, I love home. Always get swept back there. You only have one hometown in your life, so that's Alice Springs for me.
I can see this amazing look in your eyes, like up in your head you're actually back in Alice.
Yeah, it's like I'm on Anzac Hill right now looking over the town.
But in Junee.
Yeah, in a cold kitchen.
In China next.
Some music from a Jackie Chan film, taking us out there, a favourite apparently with the guys in the house. And thanks to Timothy Nicastri for that story. If you'd like to know more about the Real Thing podcast, it's new here at RN. We've got all the details on our website.
Discover the best of RN on Facebook. Simply search for ABC RN.